We're so glad that you've joined us today on the Relevant Church podcast. There's so much God wants to do in and through you as you listen to this message. If you want to learn more about Relevant Church, visit us online at thisisrelevant.cc.
So listen, if this is your first time or 100th time, like I said, we always say welcome home.
Yeah.
At Relevant, we want to do one thing, and we want to do one thing well. We want to help everybody around us discover that Jesus is relevant.
Yeah.
And because Jesus is relevant, we want to create an atmosphere where we learn to passionately follow Jesus. Mm-hmm. What you just experienced was passionately following Jesus.
Yeah.
Not passionately following an agenda, not passionately following our schedule, but literally saying, God, we just want to encounter you. We want to passionately follow you. I don't want a boring faith.
Nope.
I don't want a boring Christianity, because when I read the Bible, I don't see faith as boring.
No.
I see it as epic. I see it as exhilarating.
Mm-hmm.
I see the encounters people had with the presence of God. I see the encounters that people had with God's people,
yeah.
And they were supernatural. Literally, when people found believers, they thought they were drunk. That's how crazy they were.
Yeah.
There was just something different. Y'all know that this ain't got nothing to do with the message, but this is just some good teaching right here. This is some good teaching, so you guys should know that people who followed Jesus were called people who followed the way. Remember, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the
mm-hmm.
life. So, like, people who followed the way. It was in Antioch, I believe in Acts it tells us, it was in Antioch that they were given the name Christians. Christians didn't say, you know how right now we say, like, I'm a Christian.
Yeah, yeah.
Every politician is like, I stand for Christian values. Do you know that back in the day, they didn't even need to declare that they were Christians, because people saw them. They saw their actions. They saw how they loved
yeah.
people. They saw how they served people. They saw how they gave glory to God. They were like,
yeah.
Oh, that got to be a Christian.
Come on, yeah.
I wonder when people encounter us, is that the first thing that they declare? Oh, you've got to be a Christian.
Mm.
Or do they say you got to be a Christian because you're judgy?
Ooh, wow.
Because you're intolerant of people's lives and lifestyles, and because you're hate everyone.
You're grumpy all the time.
You're grumpy all. Oh, yeah, you got to be a Christian. You always grumpy.
Yeah.
Chick-fil-A closed, ain't it, on Sunday. Yeah, that's why you so grumpy. Moody.
You ain't get your chicken.
No. People saw that they were like, man, there's something. They've been encountering that
yeah.
presence of that one dude, Jesus Christ. And I know that he's a holy man.
Come
I may
on.
Not believe in him, but these guys, they have to be Christ followers
Come
because
on.
They passionately follow Jesus. And you know what else they did? They loved to cross boundaries.
Yes, they did. Yeah, they did.
Christians loved to cross boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't matter whether you were a believer or unbeliever. They just loved you. They served you.
Yeah.
Oh, so he got quiet right there.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't matter whether you were a believer or unbeliever. They loved you and served
yeah, they
you.
They did. They did.
Now, y'all going to think I'm going to go back on my word later on in this message when I talk about unbelievers and believers mixing and commingling and all that type of stuff. You're going to be like, well, Pastor, you say we're supposed to love everybody. Yeah, in a different way.
Yeah.
In a different way.
Mm-hmm.
But they loved to cross boundaries. It didn't matter. Listen, what would it be like if on your job they knew you were the person who it didn't matter how they voted, it didn't matter what they identified as, it doesn't matter where their background is, their pedigree, you loved them, served them, and treated them with kindness and grace.
Yeah.
And they're like, you must be a Christian, because you love me and I don't even deserve to be loved.
Come on, yeah.
Everybody else hates me, but you love me. And you know what they did? They made a tangible difference in their We want to make a tangible difference in our community, region,
yeah,
world. We love Jesus. We want to help everybody discover that Jesus is relevant. I'm going to give you the clapping moment. Just give me a second. I'm going to give you the clapping moment. Listen, she was like, yup, absolutely. Because we love Jesus, because we believe Jesus is relevant. He's relevant in every sphere of life. So we want to passionately follow Jesus, love across boundaries, and then go out and make a tangible difference in our community, region, world. Because
yeah.
that's what
Jesus
did.
Clap.
Yeah. There you go. Okay.
Yeah.
There it is. There it is. There it is. And listen, we've got an opportunity to dive into this initiative that we started last fall called God Loves Michiana.
Mm-hmm.
God Loves Michiana. Last December, we had the Christmas toy store here where we provided toys at pennies on the dollar to families who were walking through barriers so that they can have a dignified Christmas experience for their kids. It wasn't just about handing out toys. No, families could come and buy toys, but they bought them at such a discounted price that everybody in the family could get a gift and the kids could smile and laugh, and we could just show the love of Jesus through that.
Yeah.
Well, this year, we're going to do our Easter egg hunt. If you guys have been around Relevant for a while, y'all remember we used to do this massive 10,000 egg Easter egg hunt. Well, it's coming back this year, baby. 2024. Let's go.
Come on. COVID tried to shut it down.
And
COVID
so
tried.
We are going to be doing candy collection and Easter egg
collections.
Yep. And we're going to have a box in the lobby starting next week. When you go shopping, my wife said you can get them off of Amazon because she's the Amazon queen. Every man in here knows what an Amazon queen is. You know when you get the notification that someone was spent on the credit card, you're like, again? What did you buy? Why is your makeup $400?
Wow, don't do me like that.
Jeez.
Don't do me like that. Fenty.
It's just Fenty. It's just Fenty. Shoot, put a fence around you. And anyway, so listen, when you go grocery shopping, when you go on Amazon, grab some extra eggs and grab some candy so that we can do this incredible experience for these kids in our community. It's going to be incredible. It's going to be incredible. We're going to get into the Word. We're in a series called
Situationships.
Because why?
Will arise.
In
our lives.
But
you gotta be smart about it.
You gotta be smart about it. Check out this video. You don't have to call. It's okay, girl. Cause I'm gonna be all right tonight. See, listen, they look at me all judgy, act like they weren't that. Listen, in your spirit, you in that. No, I'm not playing. I'm playing. Somebody start throwing. Oh, I'm in church. Listen, if you don't know what a situationship is, babe, what's a situationship?
I don't know.
Okay. It's a relationship. It's right here in your notes.
It's right there.
Babe.
It's right there. It's a relationship that is defined by loose rules, pleasure, control, ambiguity, and lack. Lack of commitment. That's
lack
a big
of commitment.
One. Yeah.
Lack of commitment. And last week, as we began this series, we recognized that. Hold on, I'm looking around to see if there's. Okay, it's PG-13. Okay, cool.
Yeah,
I don't need
good.
To say
we
that.
Good.
Everybody's pretty much over 13. Except for Theo, close
Theo,
your eyes.
Close your ears.
Ears. Close your
close
eyes.
Your ear, bubble.
Take a nap, Theo. You can't hear this for about 45 years. So oftentimes, situationships are marked by sex. There's sexual relationships.
Yeah.
But we've come to find out that you can have any relationship in a situationship.
Correct, yeah.
You can have any situation in a relationship in a situationship. There, because every relationship can fall prey to loose rules.
Yeah.
You know, some of y'all don't be parenting your kids. Yeah, we're just going to go there. I'm just going to say it right now.
Say it.
Loose rules. Pleasure. Sometimes we got these little gray area relationships that are based off of pleasure. Control. Some of y'all like to control your spouses. Control your kids, control your friends. Ambiguity, where you don't know really what the relationship is.
Yeah.
And the lack of commitment. Some people just, y'all know just people who are just not committed to a relationship, even a friendship. Like, where are you when I need you?
Commitment issues.
Just commitment issues. Don't commit. Don't commit to the church. Don't commit to your spouse. Don't commit to your friendships. Don't commit to your job. Some of y'all just don't commit. I got commitment issues.
That's a situationship.
So last week,
yeah,
we discovered what? What did we discover last week?
We discovered the different situationships that we can find in our lives.
No. Last week, we asked the question, am I
in a situation?
Today, we're going to talk about the different situationships in our lives. So last week, we asked the question, how do I know if I'm in a situationship? Y'all remember that? Don't put your hand up. Some of y'all had newfound revelation. And you were like, man, I am in a situationship. I didn't know I was in a situationship. And if you missed last week, I want to encourage you. Listen, we're building. Everybody say we're building.
We're building.
How to know if you're in a situationship? Today we're going to discover the different types of situationship. Mm-hmm. Next week, can I give you a little preview? Can I give you a little sneak peek? Next week is the dangers of being in a situationship. Mm-hmm. Look, somebody just said, I ain't coming to that one. I already know I'm dirty. I know what I'm doing. I ain't coming. And then the last one is, how do you get out of a situationship?
Yeah.
Because some of us need to know how to get out of a situation. We've been trying. Excuse me, I burped while I spoke. Wow. Excuse me. So, this week, we're going to uncover what the most common situationships are.
Yeah.
And so, babe, you want to do the honors and praying for us as we jump in? Y'all ready? Wait, hold on. Y'all ready to learn the most common situationships?
Okay. Let's go.
Okay, there's some people in there with their arms crossed. I was like, man, I'm about to be exposed. Don't worry. I won't look at you.
Let's
go ahead,
pray
for us, baby.
Lord Jesus, we just thank you. We honor you today. Dear Lord, speak to us and speak through us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
All right. Y'all want to know what the first most common situationship is?
Yeah, the most common one. What is that, babe? That's that sneaky link.
That sneaky link. Look, I'm looking around for everybody who just got stiff. Find out if you got a little sneaky link going on around you.
What is the sneaky link? What's the sneaky link?
Sneaky link. Anybody know what a sneaky link is? It's that hookup that nobody knows about.
Nobody knows.
Boy, I see it. Man, y'all exposing yourself. You guys don't have poker faces. Y'all literally exposing. This vantage point right here is so awesome. Because I look at the audience and people are like,
just beads of sweat.
This is when you're creeping.
Yeah.
So I creep.
Yeah.
Creeping on the down low.
Nobody is supposed to know. They ain't supposed to know, but a lot of
people.
They ain't supposed to know, but some people know.
Some people know you're creeping. Let me just let you know. You think you got a sneaky link, but people know.
Yeah.
People know you got a little sneaky link. People know when you're out there texting on the side a little bit.
Yeah.
Everybody, secret lovers. Dirty little secret. Come on. Y'all know it.
And it's not that nobody knows, but it's not supposed to be public knowledge, right?
Because you know if it's exposed, you ain't going to want people to find out.
Yeah.
You don't want people to know that little sneaky link that you got. Because these are the hidden relationships that we keep quiet.
You have to keep it quiet.
We keep it quiet. We don't talk about it. Everyone thinks it's all good in the hood, but actually you got a little.
They're a little sus.
Yeah.
A little sus.
They're a little suspect. You don't want nobody to know because you know they're suspect.
Yeah.
And sometimes the little sneaky links aren't like, it's the gray area, right? Mm. So it's like you're messing with somebody, you're talking to somebody, and you're like, you know, it should be okay, but it's suspect, so you don't want to tell nobody about it. You know you got a sneaky link.
Mm-hmm. What happens with those sneaky links? They start to become entanglements.
So remember the illustration last week?
Mm-hmm.
Because you can have your situationships that, like, you're getting by. You're functioning. It's like you got a little bit of room. But when it becomes an entanglement, you don't know how to get out.
No.
You're in there. You're in like Flynn. Now you're hiding. You're dodging.
Yeah.
Listen, we have did y'all see the video? Did y'all see the video of the exposures, the situationship confessionals? If you haven't seen them, go to our Instagram page.
Go to our Instagram. Go to our Facebook because it's yes. on there as well.
There's somebody who gives this confession. We got this confessional booth that we've been doing. This person in the confessional said, listen, so I was like sleeping with three people, right?
And
notice they said people. They ain't even say like, they said three people. I'm like, oh, okay. It's 2024. All right. We got options. Sleeping with three people. And I invited them all to a party.
Dumb.
Like, are you dumb?
You dumb.
And then this individual had to sneak around and play host to three different people that they're sleeping around with. That's what happens. It gets into an entanglement.
In the same party.
At the same party. Mm-hmm. So what's an entanglement? An entanglement is a noun.
Because you looked it up.
I looked it up.
Yeah, you did.
It's in the dictionary. It's a complicated or compromising relationship or situation. Ooh. Some of us know exactly what that is because we in one. We just got out of one. We about to walk into one. A complicated or compromising relationship or situation. What type of situationships are those? What type of entanglements are those? What does it look like practically?
Friends with benefits. Yeah. Mm. That's a situationship on its own.
Friends with benefits. Mm.
We just friends, but there's no rules, there's no boundaries, so we gonna do what we wanna do.
And we all hang out, but nobody in the friendship circle knows that these two over here
are doing the do.
Are doing the do. Mm. Horizontal poker. What's they called?
Hokey pokey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There you go. Or friends with benefits. What else? What else?
Co-workers.
Mm-hmm. Y'all know, you know when you started on that job, there was a no fraternizing policy. Some of y'all don't even know what the no fraternize is because you didn't read your policy book.
The HR notebook, they didn't read it.
Fraternizing is don't fraternize with the co-workers. That little sneaky link, you know you're not supposed to be messing with somebody on the job, but y'all keep it on the down low.
Yeah.
Y'all sneak around. Ain't no supervision's coming over here.
And it doesn't even have to be like in a relationship. What about the singles and sneaky? Single but sneaky. So you keep saying that, oh, I'm single, but you really got three, four. Remember the woman at the well?
I'm single. I ain't with nobody. No, you have well. Five, homegirl.
Yeah.
Tell them about the woman at the well.
I ain't going to go there. But remember my story from last week.
Go ahead.
If you guys were here, my story from last week when I was online and I was talking to the guy online, like that is like the friend with benefits, but we didn't have benefits at the time. And my best friends didn't even know about it because I knew it was something wrong. So it's that sneaky link that you're trying to.
It turned into
entanglement.
Yeah, is what it came into an entanglement, all right. Mm. But here's the deal. Can we just be real?
Be real. Go for it.
You were singing on the worship team?
Yeah, I was.
You were in church every weekend?
I was a good church girl.
Entangled.
But that's the thing.
Because we want to walk around like we're single and saved.
Yeah.
But we out there single and sneaky.
Yeah.
Right? And I, too, myself, had a few entanglements. Mm-hmm. I had a crazy entanglement. I don't know about you guys, but have you ever been in a situation where you really, like, you don't want nobody to know because you know they're going to judge you? Mm. Hold on, listen. I had this little situationship, this little entanglement. I ain't want nobody to know. Listen, I'm going to be real. Authenticity is the only requirement is our culture code here at Relevant Church.
Correct.
Y'all want to know I didn't want nobody to know? Because she was ugly.
Yup.
I'm going to tell y'all right now. I ain't want nobody to know because I know they were going to talk about it. If my friends found out, let me tell you, my wife found out that I had this was before her. I got with this little situationship, this little entanglement that I didn't want nobody to know. She made fun of me for 6 straight years.
Yeah.
Till now, we've been married so almost often. 19 years. Is she still bringing it up?
Yeah. Every so often.
At least
often.
I wasn't with. She was ugly, y'all. Y'all been in that situation. You don't want nobody to know because you know they're going to judge you.
Yeah,
they're going to be like, oh, I can't believe you're with that individual. We hide because we don't want nobody to know in the sneaky links.
Yeah.
And you know, won't he though? Mm. Won't we do it? Here's the thing. My entanglement, and probably yours as well too, mm-hmm. came out of sheer boredom.
Yeah.
Sometimes our sneaky links, sometimes our little situations and entanglement come because we're idle.
We're not
keeping our mind occupied either with our person or occupied with our situation, occupied with our job, occupied with our faith. Mm-hmm. And they show up in these moments and we wonder, how did I get into this situation? Well, clearly you could have gotten away from it, but you chose to just chill.
Yeah.
It's the times where we lose our inhibitions. It's the times when we bring down our guard.
Yeah.
And then we find ourselves in situations that we didn't expect. Remember David and Bathsheba?
Yeah.
The story of David and Bathsheba in the Bible is simply this. David is the king of Israel. He's one of the greatest kings of Israel. The nation of Israel is at war.
Yeah.
Back in the day, the king was supposed to be on the front lines.
On the front lines, yeah.
They were supposed to be on the front lines, fighting alongside their men, holding up guard for king and country.
Yeah, but David finds himself at home.
But he's at the crib, chilling.
Chilling, chillaxing.
He's supposed to be on duty. He's supposed to be serving. He's supposed to be doing for his nation.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be doing for the Lord, but he finds himself chilling at home. And a lot of times we find ourselves in these little situationships is because we're supposed to be serving. We're supposed to be doing for the Lord, but we find ourselves bored at home. We find ourselves mindlessly at the bar, mindlessly having conversations that we don't need to be having with our coworkers. And before we know it, something arises. We see a little Bathsheba taking a bath.
Yeah, on her rooftop.
First of all, why was she taking a bath on the rooftop? It was a setup. She must have heard, oh, the king is at home. Oh, word, I'm going to take a rooftop bath. Sneaky. Got him all linked up now. But he sees Bathsheba. She's washing on the roof. He says, who is this woman? Bring her to me. He goes ahead and sleeps with her.
Yeah.
Thinks he's going to get away with it. A few months later, she comes back like, hey, king, we're pregnant. That's the word. I ain't pregnant. You pregnant.
But you did it.
We ain't pregnant. You. I don't know how I got. Anyway, she gets her pregnant, calls out for her husband, Uriah. Has him come back, and when Uriah comes back, king, what do you need? Uriah, listen, aren't I a good king? Oh, king, you are amazing. What can I do for you? How can I serve the king? Listen, Uriah, this is how you can serve the king. Go sleep with your wife. Listen, you give me a day off to spend with Mama Relevant. Say less, king. Baby, let's go handle this little situation. But Uriah is such a good...
Yeah,
don't look at
honored.
Me like that, Taya. I'm grown. It's my wife. Taya's like, ugh. We got three kids, Taya. How you think they got there? Anyway.
But Uriah was honoring. He was honoring. He was respectful. And he was like, my people are at war. We're at war right now. And you want me to go have fun? You want me to go sleep with my wife? This is a time some of my men are dying.
Yeah.
I'm not going to have fun in this time.
And so...
So David's mad.
David's mad, and he does what every person in a situationship who's about to be exposed does. They get entangled even more.
Mm-hmm.
They lie even more.
Yeah.
The deceit grows even more.
Yeah.
Now you're coming up... You ever been in a situation where you just concocting every which way, trying to not get caught?
That's me.
You coming up with every idea? So he gets Uriah killed. And he thinks he's gotten away with it till the prophet Nathan, because what? God sees all things.
Yeah, yeah.
God sees all things. Listen, you might think you sneaky or not. God sees all things.
Yeah, he does.
And God sends Nathan, and he comes to David, and he's like, hey, bro, you got blood on your hands.
Yeah.
And you did some dirt. So what lesson does that teach us? Luke 12, Jesus talks about this.
Yeah, he does.
What did he say?
It says, the time is coming when everything that is covered up will be revealed. And
hold on, pause right there.
Pause,
pause,
okay.
Right, pause right there, right there. Somebody breathe right now. Take that in. The time is coming. It ain't here yet.
But it is coming.
I don't know about you. Somebody tummy turning right now.
Mm-hmm.
The time is coming when everything... that is covered up, will be revealed.
Like that situation that I had, there was a time that had to come that it had to be revealed. I was living in sin. I was living not sleeping at night because I'm holding this lie from somebody that I actually want to be with. And there had to come a time where that had to be revealed. Like, in order for me to sleep, eat, have peace of mind, it had to be revealed.
Absolutely. And all that is secret will be made known to all.
Yeah.
It's coming. Listen, I've been exposed. I've been involved in some sneaky links. And they get exposed. They get exposed. What else does he say? What does Paul says in Ephesians 5?
In Ephesians, it says, you used to be like people living in the dark, but now you are people of the light because you belong to the Lord.
Pause. I want y'all to catch that. Who is he talking to? Is he talking to unbelievers or believers?
Correct.
He's talking to church people.
Yeah.
We get all caught up in sneaky links.
Mm-hmm.
We get in situationships. We get in entanglements. He's not talking to unbelievers. He ain't talking about the people in the streets. He's talking to us. He's like, you used to live like people in the dark. You were part of this, yeah, but now you're a believer, but you're still trying to get caught up.
Yeah.
You ain't left the past yet. So what did he say? So what?
He says, so act like people of the light. Don't take part in doing those worthless things that are done in the dark. Instead, show how wrong they are. Expose them.
Expose them.
Expose them.
He said, bring it to light. Sometimes we just get to the point where we got to be like, listen, I've been dirty and I've been out of pocket. But I got to expose it. Because this is not who I'm called to be. This is not who I'm supposed to be. This is not who God has created me to be.
Yeah.
So the first
common
situationship and entanglement is the sneaky link.
Yeah.
There's more.
Everybody
said, there's more. There is more.
What's the second
one? Y'all ready for the second one?
Mm. The second one is
the forbidden fruit.
See, this situation is, you know that it's wrong and you know that you're supposed to stay clear of it, but you still reach out and you want it and you desire it, right? Something keeps pulling you in. And the whole term, like,
my mind is telling me no. But my body's telling me yeah.
Okay, you can stop there. You can stop.
It's true. You're like, I know I shouldn't be in this thing.
Come on.
Listen, I know. Listen, R. Kelly tried to tell us, I'm no good, y'all.
Yeah, he did. He warned us.
I need help.
He warned us.
Right? Tamisha, R. Kelly was exposing himself. He's like, my mind, y'all. It's telling me, my body, and we in the club, like, this man is in full confessional mode.
Yeah, and we don't even
this
know.
This man is like, help me. And we're like, I don't see nothing wrong with a little bump and grind. We're sitting there helping him. He's like, y'all ain't supposed to be dancing to my music. Save me.
Yeah.
We condoning it.
Yeah.
Knowing, because we in that situation too.
Come on.
In that situation, too.
But like that, and that's why it's called the forbidden fruit, right?
Mm.
It's going back to the Garden of Eden,
yeah,
where there was a fruit there that was not supposed to be eaten, right? But Adam and Eve went and ate that fruit. Why? Because whatever Satan said to them, whatever he made them feel like, oh my goodness, I'm going to be like God, and they started to desire it. Now, let me tell you guys, desire, we were made to desire.
Mm-hmm.
We were made to crave. But the problem is with humanity, we are craving and desiring the wrong things.
Mm.
We're supposed to crave and desire God. We're supposed to crave and desire the things of the Lord. But a lot of times we are craving things of the flesh, whether it's food, whether it's sex, whether it's porn. We start craving things that God didn't want us to crave.
Absolutely, because humanity always wants what they shouldn't or can't have.
Correct.
Listen, there's not one person in this room, and if you better not lie, but tell the truth and shame the devil. At some point in time in your life, maybe it was even last week, you had a match, you lit a lighter, and you wanted to stick your finger in there.
Mm.
Even grown adults do that. They'll light a lighter, and I can close it with my finger. We love to touch fire. I don't know any kid who has never desired to touch fire. They know, they feel it. It's hot, it's gonna burn me. But for whatever reason, they just want to stick their hand in it. It's like the nature of humanity. We want what we can't have. We want what we shouldn't have. Mm-hmm. We want to touch what we shouldn't touch. It's like, put a freaking red button around me and I'm gonna press it. I'm in my 40s. I'm gonna press that button. What does this button do? Don't touch it. My son, listen, Jeremiah, our 8-year-old, was like, Dad, I have been going too crazy on my Switch, and I'm going to fast from my Switch. Dad, I want to fast for 1 week from my Switch.
Yep.
He was about 4 hours in. Daddy, can I just play just one game? One game. Just one game. If I die, well, I'll put it away. I'm like, son, you said that you were going to fast. Yeah. You're devoting this to the Lord. Oh, we'd be in the bedroom. Daddy.
The boy started crying.
Daddy. What do you need, Jeremiah? Dad, I just play one with just one game. We want what, even when we devote ourselves, even when we say, listen, I'm going to stay away from this. Listen, every single one of us like, I'm not going to eat that. At Thanksgiving, I'm going to have one plate. Fourth plate's in. I don't know why I did that to myself.
Yeah.
Can I tell you, we love and desire what we can't have. It's those things that are out of touch. Can I tell you, that's why the porn industry continues to exist.
Mm-hmm.
The porn industry doesn't continue to exist. It's growing.
It's thriving with billion-dollar companies out there.
Billion, multi-billion dollar. I'm telling you, the porn industry is probably going to cross the trillion-dollar mark because it's still growing. Now, places like OnlyFans have become a common name.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I'm broke. I might as well just start up OnlyFans.
I show my big toe. Take pictures of the toe.
You got a cute big toe too, baby. I like your big toe. I be looking at your big toe.
It's like this random stuff that people fantasize on and they're making money off of it.
That's why strip clubs still exist. Can
Desire.
I say for the life of me? Can I just be honest with y'all? As I I'm in my 40s. And I remember when I turned 18, we were in college. My buddies were like, bro, you just turned 18. Let's hit the strip club. And even in my unsaved, no good, busted and disgusted state, I'm like, I'm good. They're like, you're not going to come to the strip club? For what? I got to pay money to look at people take off their clothes and I can't even touch them?
Waste of money.
Listen, if you're taking your clothes in front of me, at least I got to be able to touch it. I'm being dead serious. We want it because we can't have it.
Yeah.
I'm making a point here. Don't look at me and judge me because half of y'all do the same thing. Y'all watch porn all the time. Act like, I'm in church. Oh, how could he say that?
That's sin. That's what sin is.
The truth is, we go after the things that we don't want. That's why they're continuing to growing, and that's why they're so enticing, because why? Sin is enticing.
Yeah.
We wouldn't want sin if it didn't draw us, if sin wasn't exciting, if sin wasn't a thing that actually we derive some sort of benefit from, we wouldn't go after it. Porn, strip clubs, what else? What forbidden is always enticing to us.
Correct, yeah.
It's exciting.
Mm-hmm. So even like speeding. It called?
Speeding. Enticing.
I got a lead foot. Don't talk about speeding.
Breaking the law. Sorry, baby, go ahead.
Wow, I'm just going to say I'm breaking the law?
No. I mean, you do speed, though. I ain't going to lie, but you don't. I still love you.
What I was talking about is, like, I used to watch a show, Scandal. Mm. Does anybody remember Scandal? Come on, ladies, I know you. Come on, thank you. She put up her hand.
Judge. I'm judging you, too.
Don't do that.
Judge.
Don't
if you watch, if you're a girl and you watch Scandal and you liked it, I'm judging you.
So I just want to put out a disclaimer. I used to drink wine and eat popcorn way before Olivia Pope did. Mm. But anyways, the point is, this show, for those who don't know, it's about this lady. She's a boss lady. She's amazing, whatever. But she's the side chick to the president. And so as watching the show, I used to be excited and rooting for her. And until I realized, and me and my husband, because we were married at the time, we spoke about it, and I'm like, hold up. I'm excited and rooting for.
I used to pray for
cheating.
Her. She watched the
I'm
show.
Rooting for a side chick to get the guy when I should be rooting for the president and his wife to reconcile the relationship, to build their relationship stronger and whatever. I am rooting, and I stopped watching it.
Listen,
I don't know how it ends.
We root for the side ends. Chick. And as my wife watched it, I held my Bible just like this and said, Lord, deliver her.
Wow.
And while she slept that night, I would anoint her with oil and say, Lord, deliver
her
from this scandal. You ain't know I pray for you.
Yeah, but what about the music you listen to?
Okay.
What about the music that is filled? Have you noticed, guys, that a lot of these love songs back in the days, all it was about was a side chick or cheating? All the song, I'll be singing it word for word, but it's,
and as believers, we love these songs. We were listening
good.
To them.
Sing
they were
word
great.
For word.
But half of the music out there is all about having a side piece, having illicit sexual encounters. It was about hiding, about so I creep.
Yeah.
Creeping on the down low. And we were in the clubs dancing to these things. Yeah. And sometimes, and you know what? Some of us are old. Some of y'all don't know what that song is. That's TLC.
TLC.
Yeah. For everybody under the age of 40 at this point. Or over the age of 65. But the truth is, even sometimes we go back. And the other day, I'm not going to expose who it is. Jonathan Bailey was at our house. And
name dropping.
And we were just listening to some old R&B cuts. And as we're listening to these songs, we're like,
this is
these
what
songs
we're
are
singing.
Foul.
Yeah.
Like, this was foul. Like, literally, even the whole song, Situations May Arise. Like, I always used to listen to the song. I knew the words of the song, but it wasn't until last week when we're working on the message where I actually pulled up the lyrics and was like, that's what this song is about.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, listen, you don't have to call. It's okay, girl, because I'm going to be all right tonight. I'm going to get mine because you've been getting yours. So since you were cheating on me, I'm going to just go ahead and cheat on you.
Yeah.
That's what we see. And so what are the thing about sneaky links, they can be gray areas.
Yeah.
And some of the others we're going to share, they can be gray areas, right?
Yeah.
But the forbidden fruit?
The forbidden fruit is black or white. It's black or white. If it's forbidden and you're not supposed to have it, it's black or white. There's no gray area there. If God said don't touch it, don't touch it.
Don't touch it.
Right?
Stay clear of it. The tree in the garden, don't eat it. And they're like, I ate it.
Mm-hmm. Black or white.
So what are some forbidden fruits that we're supposed to steer clear of?
Marital infidelity.
Marital infidelity.
That's black or white.
We know it. Pastor Tim talked about it a couple weeks when he was He was like, there's some areas that are a gray area. We're like, I don't know if this is. But there's some things that are just straight black and white. Stay in your marriage.
Yeah.
You don't need to have a sneaky link. Mm-hmm. You don't need to have another relationship. What else?
Another one is teacher and student relationships.
Man.
That has been a lot.
There was a season. Y'all remember on the news where it was a season constantly. Every teacher was sleeping with their student? It's like it was a pandemic of teacher-student relationships. It felt like every other month there was some teacher sleeping with their student, some student sleeping with their teacher, getting pregnant by their student. Like, how you get pregnant by a seventh grader?
Wow.
What in the world?
Yeah.
And this is the other one.
The other one is minors.
Minors.
And so this might touch and affect a lot of people that have been raped or molested. It wasn't your fault, but because of that situation, right, that was forbidden fruit. You were forbidden fruit, and somebody went and violated that. So to all those out there that have experienced that before, I just want to say I'm sorry that you had to go through that.
Yeah, and we're praying for healing, man, because that's a real one. The forbidden fruit can actually have such long-lasting effects in our lives.
Yeah.
Think about it. Adam and Eve take the forbidden fruit, and after that, humanity is stuck in this deepening cycle of sin.
Yeah.
And while the sneaking link, we expose this, all that, but forbidden fruit is like, it's something that affects our body. That's why our own lives, that's why scripture tells us, is like, all other sin is outside of the body, but sexual sin is like, it affects who we are.
Yeah.
It affects our physiology. And one here that's probably going to offend a lot of people, but, you know, a lot of people tell us, they're like, you know, you're a relevant church, and we just love how, you know, they figure like we're super progressive and they think we're really light on the Bible. But I'm just going to put it out there. If this offends you, I'm sorry. You can get mad at the word. Same-sex relationships.
Yeah.
Forbidden fruit. The Bible is very clear on same-sex relationships. I know that some so-called theologians, some so-called pastors, some psychologists and therapists have tried to dissuade humanity and try to concoct all of this to say it's a gray area. Mm-hmm. And you know, you were born this way. Listen, I was born wanting to sleep with every woman that I get in contact with, but I'm not supposed to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Was born in sin. Yep.
We were born in sin, shaped in iniquity. Just because we were born with a tendency towards something doesn't mean we just got to go headlong into it.
Yeah, that's right.
You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Same-sex relationship. I have a friend who was married, had a couple of children, beautiful marriage, beautiful relationship,
yeah.
Or so we thought. Come to find out that he was down low. And as he traveled for work, he was busy engaging in same-sex relationships and engaging in this forbidden fruit. And he was just like, man, there's something about it. Like, I try to get away. I try to pray it out. I try to do all these things. And I just can't get away from this situationship. That's what happens with the forbidden fruit.
Yeah.
It's so enticing. It's so magnetic that it just pulls us in.
Mm-hmm.
He knew it was wrong, but he would not let go. And many of us, we're in those situationships and entanglements in a relationship that is a forbidden fruit that we should not do it, but for whatever reason, we keep going back to. James 1 talks about that
a little bit. It says, temptation comes from our own desires.
Pause. I just want y'all to hear that. The verse right before that says, don't let anybody say God is tempting me.
Yeah.
God doesn't tempt anybody.
No.
God doesn't create you in a way that puts you in position to all of a sudden have a certain desire. No, God did not create you that way. It is our own sinful flesh. It is our own brokenness.
Yeah.
It is the formation of society sometimes where temptation comes from our own desires.
Correct. Yeah, yeah.
Our own desires.
Yeah.
Which entice us, and what do? They drag us away.
Yeah.
Notice, the temptation comes and it drags us away. He hasn't talked about sin yet.
No.
Temptation does not equate sin.
No, it doesn't.
Desire does not equate sin. You can desire something and be tempted for something and still not fall into sin.
Correct.
However,
it says these desires give birth to sinful actions.
If we lean into that desire. If we lean into that thing that's coming up in my mind, the thing that I'm thinking about, the thing that I'm over-fixating about, you know those moments where you don't want to think about something, but you're thinking about it?
Yeah.
You can't get away from it, and all of a sudden this desire gives birth to sinful actions, and then what happens next?
It says, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death.
Can I free somebody right now?
Yeah.
It says when sin is allowed to grow, because the Bible knew you were going to sin.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's allowed to grow.
Because you can nip it in the butt. You could stop. You could repent.
Yeah.
But some people allow it to continue to feather it.
Scripture tells us this. All has sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. So we're all going to be tempted. We're all going to have desires. We're all going to be enticed and dragged away. And these desires are going to give birth to sinful actions. But sin, when it is allowed to grow. So who's responsible for that? It's you.
Yeah.
When you allow sin to grow, when you decide, nah, I'm just going to go headlong into this. I'm just going to choose this. It gives birth to death. It's going to be a death of your relationship, death of your life, death of your career, death of different things. And ultimately, the wage of sin is death.
Yeah.
Eternal separation from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
The third one.
The third
one. Are you guys tracking with us? Is this good teaching? Is this all right?
Yeah. So the first one is a sneaky link,
sneaky
right?
Link.
The second one is forbidden fruit.
Uh-huh.
And the third one is a common one that we hear at church
all
or if you grew up in church.
Can anybody guess it? Let's do a little trivia. What is the next one that we always talk about at church that you guys think we're going to say?
I heard it.
Unequally yoked.
Yep.
That is the third most common situationship.
Mm-hmm.
If you grew up around church, you heard this all the time.
Yeah.
What does Scripture say about it?
It says in 2 Corinthians, it says, don't continue to team up with unbelievers in mismatched alliance.
I love the way it says that, mismatched alliances. Are you aligning yourself with an individual that has mismatched beliefs, mismatched affections, mismatched trajectories with you?
Mm-hmm.
For
what partnership is there between righteousness and rebellion?
Catch this. It says righteousness and rebellion. There's no gray area. It's not just a little bit. It's righteousness or rebellion. With God, remember, it's black and white. It's either you choose him or you choose not. If you choose him, righteousness. If you choose against him, rebellion.
Yeah.
So what partnership is there between righteousness and rebellion? Go on.
It says, who could mingle light with darkness?
Because light's supposed to expose darkness.
Correct.
If we turn all the lights off in this room and I lit a flame, it would still overcome the darkness. Go on.
And then who could, read that. What harmony can there be between Christ and Satan?
What harmony? Like, he's trying to make a point. And now he drops the bomb. I love what scripture does. Sometimes it builds us into it. Just I was telling my wife, I'm like, when I'm preaching, sometimes I don't want to just give y'all the punchline right away. I want to walk you through these layers. We got to peel back the layers. You know when you're peeling back an onion, the tears start to come out? We've got to make it set effect so that when we actually drop the punchline, you get what we're trying to say. And what does he say next?
Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever?
Do you know what this is about? Being in relationship with somebody who is not a believer. Being in a relationship with somebody who's not a believer.
Mm-hmm.
This is the metaphor. It says, it's a metaphor of like yoked animals. So you guys ever seen like back in the day when you got see bulls and oxen and they're plowing the field and they got the wooden thing over them that keeps them together?
Yeah.
That's called the yoke.
Yeah.
It's a yoke of oxen. It sits there so that they're balanced, so that they can work together. So that one doesn't drop below, so that they can stay straightforward. And what he's saying, he says, do not be yoked with an unbeliever.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be mismatched, because if you put a small, defective, weak little cow or calf next to this big bull, this oxen that is strong, and you try to get them to plow together, the strong bull is going to be hindered by the other one. The other one is going to be frustrated because it feels like it's being dragged. There's going to be a mismatch in size and strength and experience, and it will not be effective.
Yeah.
So what's the context? Christians shouldn't enter binding relationships with unbelievers.
Correct.
It didn't say Christians should hate unbelievers. It didn't say Christians shouldn't love unbelievers. It didn't say Christians shouldn't serve unbelievers. It says do not enter into a binding relationship like a sexual relationship, like a marriage, they say even business deals, you've got to be careful.
Yeah.
You got to be careful when a Christian connects with an unbeliever. Why? Because the values are different.
Mm-hmm.
Your values are distinctly different.
Yeah.
Your principles, the way you do life is diametrically opposed to the way of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Your fundamental beliefs are different. Or at least they should be. And here's the real. A lot of people want to continue to go into relationships with somebody who's not a believer because they're cute.
That ain't good enough, y'all.
Because they got a good job.
If that's what you're using.
Because they got a good job, because they got a nice body.
Yeah.
Because they got Riz. They dress well. They got a nice car. They seem like they've got everything going for them. And you're like, hey, you know what? At the end of the day, can I tell you, boo-boo, you ain't going to change them.
No.
You ain't nobody's Holy Spirit.
Come on. That's right. That's right.
Don't sit there thinking you're going to come into this situationship and all of a sudden you're going to be like, oh, I see Jesus and now I'm going to be with you. Listen, when you get with somebody, the Bible warns us, it is going to slow down your progress.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is going to slow down your progress. And what we've discovered.
We discovered that even believers, when there's believers, so unequally yoked goes even beyond faith. It goes beyond faith. So we could be Christians and still be unequally yoked.
Mm.
We could be going to the same church and still be unequally yoked. We could be married and still be unequally yoked. See, if we have different life plans, if you want to be a missionary and you want to travel the world, but your spouse wants to be a millionaire and stay in one area, You're unequally yoked.
Unequally yoked.
The desires, the goals that you have in life, if they don't match up, you're unequally yoked.
You can have different views on relationship. We said this in first service. Yeah. Maybe somebody grew up in a relationship where mom stayed at home, raised kids, homeschooled kids, and that's what you're supposed to do for the rest of your life. But the spouse grew up in a relationship where mom was a boss and she worked every single day, and the kids had babysitters and they went to school and all of that. And all of a sudden, this starts to create conflict because it's like, hey, you want me staying at home and I want to be working, or the other person has different expectations. Correct. At the end of the day, you can have different views in relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You can be a believer and still have an unequally yoked situationship. Correct. Because you have two different views or different levels of faith. This one's a huge one.
That was a big one.
He says he's a Christian. When's the last time he went to church?
Ooh.
What church does he go to? Who's his pastor?
But he's a believer. He believes in God.
But he believes in God. He said his relationship with God is personal. Well, does he also believe that the word says, do not stop gathering with the believers as some have decided to do?
Mm.
And people have made shipwreck of their faith by going about their own way? Well, he says he loves Jesus, but he doesn't get into organized religion. Well, it says that the believers were together and gathered together and had all things in common.
Yeah.
See, that's the first thing that I ask a young lady who come to church and be like, oh my gosh, I'm dating this person. My first question to them is always this: are they a believer? Do they love Jesus? This was my question. Do they love Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, he says that he loved Jesus. Okay, who's his pastor? He doesn't really go to church right now. Oh yeah? Oh, what happened?
Hmm.
Is he just in transition? Is he looking for a church? Is he going to show up to church with you? And this is what they do. The other individual does this. They show up to church with you 2-3 times just to prove that they're okay with you being a believer.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fourth time, they're like, hey, I planned this trip. And so they call, I'm not going to be at church. I'm not serving this weekend because I'm going to be on this trip with him. And then the next week, it's like, oh, we had a baseball game. Oh, we had to work on the house. And before you know it, the person who was the believer, who was supposed to be light coming into darkness, all of a sudden, the light is snuffed out. Let me tell you, I've seen it happen
over and over.
I've literally baptized people who have come to faith in Jesus, who started serving, who started giving, who got into a small group, who were leading part of the team, and then they get with someone
unequally yoked.
And we warn them, if you continue in this relationship, it's you who's going to acquiesce to their desires.
Yeah.
No, I'm strong in my faith. A year later, they're nowhere to be found. And when you reach out to them, church is so controlling. Oh, who put that in your mind?
Mm. Yeah.
Because the devil's the one who says, God is just trying to control you so you can't be like him.
Mm. That's why they ate the fruit. Forbidden.
This is what it says. Amos 3:3. Can two walk together without agreeing on a direction?
Mm.
You got no business. You got no business being with somebody. You got no business being with somebody who you're not equally yoked together. Mm. No business. And can I tell you, people don't come and tell me about their relationships because I'll be just calling it what it is. People now avoid me when they're in a relationship because I'm just going to tell them what it is. Listen, I've been married almost 20 years. We've been together almost 21 years. We know a few things or two.
Yeah.
Both of our parents have been married over 50 years. So together we've got over 120 years of relationship. My sister was with her husband before he died for 23 years. We know a little bit about relationship.
Yeah.
And you know what? I can call it real quick when I see there's a shipwreck coming down the line.
Yeah, yeah.
And people don't want to hear that. Mm-mm. People don't want to hear that. They want to go their own way. Don't take advice. Can two people walk together without agreeing? However, we got to say something to the married people in here. Because I said don't marry an unbeliever. But what happens when you do marry one, and what if you are already married?
Yeah. What do you do then?
Maybe you got together unsaved, and then when y'all got married, they got saved. You got saved. And now they're not.
Mm-hmm.
Tell them about it, baby. 1 Corinthians 7.
Yeah, 1 Corinthians 7 says, if a fellow believer has a wife who is not a believer and she is willing to continue living with him, he must not leave her. And if a believing woman has a husband who is not a believer and he is willing to continue living with her, she must not leave him.
So everybody here who is about to be like, yeah, it's about my time. You got to go. Not an excuse.
That's not an excuse for divorce.
In the audience right now, I saw somebody go, shoot. Y'all wild in this place. They're like, dang it. I thought I had a pass.
No, it's not a reason for divorce. It says, for the believing wife brings holiness in her marriage.
Wow.
And the believing husband brings holiness to his marriage.
Wow.
Yeah.
If you married an unbeliever, your faith and your testimony brings holiness to the marriage.
Yeah.
That does not mean rush into an unholy union.
No.
Because somebody here is like, oh, good, so that means I can marry him. No! It means if you're already in the relationship.
Correct.
So we've got advice for the unmarried. If you're unmarried, if you're dating somebody and they're an unbeliever, what advice do we have?
Run.
Run.
Run. What are you doing with your
life? Get away as far as you can. Somebody said, what? Yes. Listen, I am not afraid to tell you. Somebody said, well, I'm dating somebody and they're not a believer. What do you expect me to do? Break up.
Pretty much.
But we've been together for a year.
That's nice.
Break up.
It's your eternity that's going to be infected.
You're worried about a year, but you think eternity is inconsequential.
Wow. What is a year to God, y'all?
Or, okay, so this is the one. You know that they're the one. You know it. This is the one. Wait from a distance.
Yeah.
Wait from a distance. Don't even play around with it. Because if you get close to fire, guess what? You're going to get burned.
Yeah.
You're going to get burned.
And you have to be clear about your expectations. So if you are in the situationship and you know that this person is not a Christian, let them know your expectations. Well, I expect to be with somebody that loves Jesus more than they love me. Put expectations there. You need to be clear about your expectations, your relationship with God. Right? Before any man. If the man doesn't love Jesus more than he loves you, he need to go.
And if the girl don't love Jesus
more than she loves you, she need to go. Right?
Listen.
And I'm talking about, remember, we're talking to unmarried people.
It says, let them work out their own salvation.
Correct.
I'm going to reiterate. You can't save nobody.
You are not the Holy
Spirit. When we got together, we were unsaved, dirty dogs, just doing our own thing, just out there hoeing around.
Hot mess.
That was us. Authenticity is the only requirement. Yeah. But when we got together, something started happening inside of my heart.
Yeah.
God was drawing me back to himself. And so I had a holy sneaky link with Jesus. Because I would sneak off and go to church on the weekends. And she would be like, where are you?
Going?
How come you're just like ghost over the weekends? Until I told her, I was clear about my expectations. Hey, if this is going to be a thing, if this is going to be a relationship, I am understanding my relationship with Jesus, and I'm pursuing Jesus. And if you want to be with me, you're going to need to be doing the exact same thing.
And that's exactly, I was on the side. I wanted to pursue Jesus. I didn't know he was pursuing Jesus, and we ended up going together on this journey.
And now we started going to church together. We started serving together. We started giving together. And before we know it, our unequal yoke did this. We were both pursuing Jesus, and what did we start doing? Boom. It united us. Because we've been united in Jesus now.
Yeah.
Advice for the married people. If you're married and your husband is an unbeliever, or your wife is an unbeliever, just number one, pray.
Yeah. Keep
praying. Ask God to change their hearts. Do like I did when she was watching Scandal. Anoint them while they sleep. In the name of Jesus, you will be saved. It works.
But not only that, get wise counsel. Don't think that you could do it on your own power. Get wise counsel, right?
And then continue to follow the Lord.
Don't stop following the Lord.
Somebody said, well, if my husband doesn't really want me to go to church, so should I keep going to church? Yes. Well, what if it brings issues in our relationship? Jesus says, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. So who are you going to choose?
Who is your God?
Who is your God? Is it that person? Or
who's your idol? Who are you worshiping? Are you worshiping your husband, your spouse? Or are you worshiping God?
Are you worshiping your boyfriend? Some of y'all are idol worshipers. You worship your boyfriend and your girlfriend.
Yeah.
You can't do anything without your boyfriend and your girlfriend. You can't go nowhere without your boyfriend and your girlfriend. You just live in that. I just love you.
That's leading on to the next one.
Boo-boo. Oh.
Ooh.
Are y'all ready for one more? Can we get one more in here?
One more.
Y'all got the muscle for one more? Okay. Come on. If you want one more, you better make some noise.
I can't stand you.
Listen. First service, we had to clear space for you guys, so we skipped the other one. So listen, I'll let y'all get up. Y'all can stand up. Y'all can a little twist. You do a little thing. Whatever you need to do, get comfy, because we're in our last one. Danae's going to come up. As soon as y'all see Danae come play, just know it's coming to an end. So y'all ready for this last one? I feel like this one is one of my favorite ones, because some of y'all are so caught up in this last one. Some of y'all struggling with this one.
Yeah.
I see this, I hear about it, and I know about it because I've been there.
Yeah, we have.
We've been there.
Yeah, we have.
The last. Everybody say, what's the last one?
What's the last one?
Look, y'all were louder on this one because y'all trying to get me to be quiet and be done. I wish y'all had that same energy on the first one. Authenticity is a word. I'm authentically going to preach it till it's done.
Come on.
All right.
The last one, y'all.
The last one is?
Is the toxic relationship.
The toxic. Now, here's the deal. All of these
all of them were toxic.
But there's a difference. This one has a little difference to it.
Yeah.
Because this is the dysfunctional relationship.
Correct. Yeah.
This is the dysfunctional relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody here has ever been in an unhealthy relationship? If you're married, don't put your hand up. Okay, yeah, I see some hands. Some married people are like. Have you ever been in a, listen, you knew it was unhealthy?
Yeah.
You ever been in that relationship that you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, this is, I don't need to be
yeah.
in here. Listen, it's one of them songs where it's one of them relationships where your theme song is "We found love in a hopeless place."
Mercy, wow.
We found love in a hopeless place.
Yeah, yeah.
You ask yourself, "How did I get here?"
Mercy.
Why am I even in this situation? I'll admit it. I'm grown enough. I had that situation, shit.
Yeah, you did.
I mentioned her last week. I'm not going to mention her this week.
Don't do that. You'd be name dropping.
You can go watch. You can watch the last one. This relationship, let me tell you something. This was toxic from the beginning. Remember I told you when I met her, she came up to acid. We went to club.
Y'all, it wasn't me. Okay? I just letting it out there. It wasn't me. Go ahead.
We had our own little toxic experience in the beginning of our relationship. But I'm sitting there. I see her. She sees me. It's like a scene of a movie, y'all. Music going. Oots. My body's telling me no.
No, your body was telling me
yes. No, my body was telling me yes.
Yeah.
She comes up to me. I kind of walk up to her. It's just like, it's just like. She's like, hey. I'm like, hey. She says, what's your name? What did I say? Trouble. She should have ran.
Yep.
She was dumb as rocks to continue on talking to me.
Yep.
Let me tell you, if you try to talk to a dude or talk to a girl, and the first thing she says, when you say, who are you, and they answer trouble, just be like, the devil is a lie, I'm gone. Yep. Jesus, yep. I need my holy water.
Yep.
Listen, it was bad. This is relationship. It was literally filled with only thrill, sex, control, and emotional instability. Anybody been there? And you think it's so good. You think it's so good. Oh, my gosh, this is incredible. Knowing darn well, what the heck am I doing?
Yeah.
I am acting out of pocket. I've never been in this type of situation before. Like, this is bad. This is unhealthy. And I remember my daddy could not stand this girl. And he made it known every single time. Listen, girl would be at my, we'll go visit my parents, and she'd be in the basement. My dad come down the stairs in his den, and he'll look like, oh, she's still here.
Wow. You see, that's why I love you, Daddy.
Even when we broke up, my dad was like, Christine is my daughter. She can come anytime. I'm going to tell you something. Me and my wife broke up.
Yeah, we did.
For about 4 months. We got engaged. Broke up for 4 months. She was in my parents' house more than I was.
Yeah.
I used to be so angry. I'll call home. I'm like, is that Christine's voice out here? Oh, yeah, she came over. You know, I love that girl. You should marry her. I broke off an engagement with her.
Yeah.
Did y'all not get the memo? And then, to make it worse, let me tell you. When I moved out the house, sorry. This
is side note, because this is not a part of our notes.
When I moved out the house, this is grown now. Getting my own place. I came home one day. Because, you know, every good dude goes home shopping. So I go home thinking I'm going to go shopping because I knew my parents kept it stocked. And I went and tried to use my key to the front door. And it didn't work. So I went to the garage and tried the key to the garage. It didn't work. And I called my parents. I said, hey, guys, my key to the house doesn't work. They were like, I know. I said, so what happened? Because you don't live here anymore. So if you come to my house when I'm not there, you're an intruder. My God. And then fast forward, we get married.
Come on, Dad.
We get married, and you know, they give gifts to the spouse, and then my dad comes, and we're sitting there just like this. You know, we got the food in front of us. Everybody's so happy. We're tired. Just weddings, exhausting.
That's another story.
My dad comes. Oh, son, I'm so proud of you. My dad's Zambian, by the way. I'm so proud of you. My daughter. Oh, you look lovely. I've got a present for you. This one is for you. Why she got a key to the house and I didn't? I'm like, what in the world?
Because I'm their daughter.
Where was I in the story? My dad didn't like the ex-girlfriend.
No.
And listen, I knew it was bad for me, but there was a magnetic pull.
Yeah.
This girl could get me to do anything she wanted, when she wanted, how she wanted. She had such control over my life. You ever find yourself like, how did I even agree to this?
Yeah.
How did I agree to this?
Yeah, but you're not the only one, because I had a relationship as well.
You sure did.
Yeah, because you got mad and called him out on, don't say the name again. Don't do that. But like in that relationship,
oh, wow.
I was his booty call, y'all. That's what it came down to being. We didn't need a relationship. I didn't see a future with him. Can I be real? That's all that we desired of each other was sex. That was it. We didn't want a relationship. We didn't desire a relationship.
The people want to go home, baby. Let's go ahead.
Okay, I'm done.
I just didn't understand how you had such an unnatural allegiance to losers. Don't say I got the audacity. Okay, pop me kettle. Okay. Listen.
But we have hope for some of y'all.
We got hope for some of y'all out there.
You guys hear our story. You guys hear, like, I'm authentic. I'm real. I'm an
open
real. Book. Right?
You're going to get
it. I've messed up in my
past,
and here I am today to let you know that there is hope for those that are out there. All right?
Absolutely.
I've messed
up. Listen, we serve a redemptive God.
Yeah.
Our relationship was toxic. We talk about how the first 5 years of our relationship was just straight toxic.
Armageddon.
It was bad. It was so bad. But guess what? God can redeem all things.
Yeah, he can.
He is the God who makes all things new.
Pretty much.
All right. Danae, you can come up.
Mm-hmm.
But we do want to warn you about something. Toxic relationships are beyond physical and sexual.
Yeah.
There are different types of toxic relationships that we need to address before we go.
Because some of y'all are in
situationships. Some of y'all are in situationships right now.
That you don't realize are a toxic relationship.
Yeah.
You know those friends that you have that keep wanting from you and taking and taking and taking and wanting your time and wanting you to answer their calls and everything like that. But when you're ready, when you need them, they're never around. That's a toxic relationship.
Or maybe you are that friend.
Yeah.
When's the last time you called your friends and checked in on them? When's the last time you looked out for their needs? They're always showing up for you. They're always helping you out. You can always borrow money from them, borrow something from them, have them show up for you. When's the last time you looked out? Maybe you are the toxic relationship in your friend.
Yeah.
Maybe it's time to make some calls and be like, hey, how have I been showing up? How do I be better? What about the friends who influence and control how you show up?
Mm-hmm.
You're one way everywhere else, but when they come up, when they show up, you all of a sudden switch up.
Yeah. It's almost like you lose your authenticity when this person's around. You lose your character. You lose who you are when you're around this person.
We just call you J-Lo.
Remember how every time J-Lo was with somebody
new boyfriend,
different,
she was
different.
A thug with Diddy.
She looked different.
She was a housewife with Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
She was athletic with the baseball player.
Yeah. It's like she lost her identity. She constantly changed depending on who she was with. That's a toxic relationship.
And some of y'all are in those relationships right now where you're just changing. Every time you get around this person, they have so much influence and control over you, you lose yourself when you get around them.
Yeah.
And the truth is, you don't even like that part of yourself. What about this one's a big one.
Yeah.
Parents, I need y'all to lean in on this one. The codependent relationship. Oh, no. I'm not parents. This is just everybody.
Yeah.
Because I got something for parents later on. This one is a big one. Codependent and the trauma bond relationships.
Mm. Yeah.
Some of y'all got trauma bonds with your friends.
That person that you only call when you're in a difficult, negative situation.
And they feed into it.
They feed into it. So you call them to gossip or you call them to share. And if something is going wrong and negative, I had those friends. If something was going wrong or negative in my relationship with
it's cool, girl. Let's go to this party with Ken.
Forget him. Ignore that. Instead of building me up, instead of calling me out, instead of saying, listen, girl, you're the one that's wrong. You're acting up. They would feed into my trauma, into my desire to stay down.
You know you're in a toxic relationship when the people around you don't make you better, they just coddle your dysfunction. They let you be what you are.
Mm-mm.
Well, you know, it's none of my business. No, if you're my friend, it is my business because I want to see you healthy. I want to see you growing. Yeah. I want to see you thriving.
Yeah.
I don't want to see you in a state of depression and just busted and disgusted all over the place. I want to see you healthy and grow.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us are coddling our friend's trauma, and they're coddling our trauma. And now we've created this trauma bond where we're this confederation. That's why misery loves company.
Yeah, yeah.
Notice most depressed people have depressed friends.
Ooh.
Most depressed people don't like being around people who are actually healthy. Why? Because healthy people don't like being around unhealthy people.
Yeah.
Either that or they help you grow. They pull you out of your mess. What about the protector-provider relationships?
Ooh.
You have to save everybody. Everybody's a project. Everybody's somebody who you've got to save.
Mm.
E-40 had a song, Captain Save-A-Ho.
Yeah. Yeah.
E-Fonzarelli, you know that. Some of you guys are that. You're trying to save people who are in the midst of... Listen, some people, you just got to let them be.
Yeah.
You're spending yourself trying to save this individual, losing yourself in the process.
Mm.
Being dragged down in the process. But this one, parents.
Mm-hmm.
Married spouses. Controlling helicopter parent or spouse.
That's toxic.
That's toxic, y'all.
It's not healthy, y'all.
Want to dictate every move of your child. I'm talking about when they grown. Bro, listen, I'm an adult. My parents still sometimes, I'm like, hey, parents, no, this is toxic. You can't tell me what to do. I'm grown. This is what we came to tell you. This is what we came to tell you today. Get woke.
Yeah.
I know some of y'all in here got mad. How dare you use that word? Yeah, I'm going to use that word. You know why? Because that word was never supposed to be a bad word.
Yeah.
The Bible tells you to get woke. Don't let what politics and the current of social opinion, current of public opinion, try to teach you what words are and create dissension between people. That's toxic.
Yeah.
Stop watching the news and listening to everything the news says and going by what it is. Get woke.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us are in situation and entanglements, and we are well aware.
Yeah.
We're well aware. Some of us, the light bulb is just going on.
Just today.
Whether you are aware or being made aware, you know what Ephesians 5 says? Get woke.
Yeah.
How do we know? It says this.
Carefully determine what pleases the Lord, for the light makes everything visible. Whatever revelation light exposes, it will also correct.
I just want to put a pin on that for just a quick second. Remember how we said everything that's in darkness is going to come to light? Aren't you glad we serve a God who exposes things and he also corrects them?
Yeah, yeah.
God doesn't That's expose amazing. You to rebuke you. He exposes you so you can come into his marvelous light.
Yeah, yeah.
What did we say last week? If you get rebuked, don't get mad at it. That's God saying, I'm trying to make it better.
Yeah.
I'm trying to make it all better. And then he says what?
It says, this is why it is said, awake, O sleeper.
Get woke.
Rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Christ will give you light. You don't have to go searching it on you. He wants to give you light, but you have to come out of the darkness. You have to reveal those things that are in the darkness, those sneaky links, those forbidden fruit. What am I missing?
The unequally yoked.
Unequally yoked. You have to reveal those things so that God can correct them and bring them to light. So that you can live life and live it abundantly and healthy.
So we need to get woke about the reality of our relationships. Yeah. And the only way to get free from toxic situation and entanglements, but we have to put this caveat, if you want to get free. Because some of y'all don't want to get free. Some of you guys are just very comfortable where you are.
And that's you.
That's you.
We're not the Holy Spirit, so that's you.
That's between you and him.
Yeah.
But if you want to get free, you got to wake up and call it what it is. Man, am I involved in a sneaky link? Am I involved in a forbidden fruit relationship? Am I in a situationship that's unequally yoked? Am I in a toxic relationship? If you want to get free, call it what it is. And remember this, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Remember last week we said, you need wisdom on how to get out of it? Ask God. He will give you wisdom freely. Freely. He helped. There's no temptation that has come to you that is not common to man, but in every temptation, he's created a way of escape. The escape path is already there. The escape hatch is already there if you want it. But here's the deal. Some of us just walk by it. I'm not ready to escape yet. But there may be somebody in this room today who's like, man, listen, last week, I got it. I'm in a situationship. This week, whew, you just called it, pastors. You got it right on the head. That's the one. That's mine. The toxic. Yep, that's mine. Yep, that's unequally yoked. Yep, that's mine. Oh, my gosh. Yep, yep. The forbidden fruit. I'm there. That's me. Oh, man. The sneaky link, pastor, Holy Spirit revealed it to me. Revealed it to you. So all heads about, all eyes closed. I'm going to give two calls right now. What we want to do is we want to be a church that just doesn't give information. We want to be a church of transformation. Some of your eyes are still open. You're nervous, scared. What are they going to do? Close your eyes. I'm about to ask people to reveal themselves in a moment. Get out their business. In fact, you need to be praying for. If this message didn't hit you because you are holy and great, pray for the person next to you that they can get free. If there is a person in this room and from last week to this week, you realize, man, I am in a situationship and I need to get out. Next week, we're going to talk about the dangers, what happens. But you're recognizing this week, man, I am there and I need out. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and says, man, you need to get free. You need to get free wherever you're at. Wherever you're at. Just while all heads about, all eyes closed, just raise your hand real quick. Just real quick, just say, hey, man, I'm in a situationship. I'm in an entanglement. And I need to get free. I see your hands. I see hands. I see hands. Praise God. All right, you can put your hands back down. Put your hands back down. Recognize this. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Christ is not against you. He's for you. Christ ain't mad at you. He's mad about you. And he wants to bring health, holiness, and peace to your life. God, I pray for every single individual who's just admitted and said, God, I am in a situationship and I need to get out. I recognize it. I call it by name. I've exposed it to the light. And I want out. Now, the second call is for the individual in this room, the individual in this room who says, hey, listen, I've just been in a situationship with my relationship with God. I've been busy sneaking off with the world. I've been enticed and caught up in the worldly things that have been forbidden from me, but I choose them daily and I choose to go down that path. I've been unequally yoked with this world. I'm supposed to be in this world, but not of it, but I constantly choose that. And if I'm honest, it ain't nothing but a toxic relationship for me. And today, Jesus, I want to choose you. I want to come back home. I want to say, take the world and give me Jesus. I want to right my relationship with you. I want to untangle my entanglement so that I can be tangled up with you, Jesus. And today you're saying, Jesus, I choose you. If you're in this room, just raise your hand right now. Just say, Jesus, I choose you. Man, hands all over the room. That's incredible. That's incredible. All right, you can put your hand down. Put your hand down. God, you see the hands that were raised. I pray, God, that you will seal every single commitment in Jesus' name. I pray that you give them power to overcome. I pray that you give them power to get free. I pray that you give them power to recognize that you are holy and walk in step with you. Lord, we thank you that in Christ, old things have passed away and the new has come. Allow people to walk out of this room not with the burden of shame, but with the joy of celebration, knowing that they're safe, sealed, and secure in the hands of Jesus. Safe, sealed and secure by the power of the Holy Spirit, safe, sealed and secure by the declaration of God the Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you again for joining us on the Relevant Church podcast. If this message has been impactful to you, let us know by sending an email to hello@thisisrelevant.cc. If God is impacting your life through this ministry, join us in reaching others by investing at giving.thisisrelevant.cc. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast for more messages like this one.